Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Alicia. Good morning, guys. My name is David. I love being one of the pastors around here, and you guys would be so proud of me. A few weeks ago, I told you about what I didn't do, what I did or didn't do for Valentine's Day, that it was a last-minute trip to the Quick Trip. And if you didn't know, for Valentine's Day, they do have flowers and candy and cards there at the Quick Trip. If that's new information for you, let me affirm it is there. It is true. But last night you'd be proud of me because I took Casey out for a date night, and rather than going to see like Call of the Wild or what's some other movies that are out, we went and saw a movie called Emma. It's a Jane Austen movie. So I'm just a giver, guys. I just want you to know I'm just a giver, enduring, taking one for the team. And there's another opportunity coming up that I hope my wife's able to participate in, where she gets an overnight. So May 2nd to 3rd, we have a great women's ministry around here led by Michelle Pearson, and I think a great opportunity for our women to continue to get connected, grow together. And so if you're looking for another opportunity to get connected to women around here, I think this is a great opportunity to connect at. And wanted to give you an update on our student ministry pastor search. If you have been following along, we said goodbye to Larry Machanga in October of last year, and we put together a search team shortly after that, comprised of parents, students, and leaders. And we reached out to an organization called Slingshot that is combing through some candidates. They presented us 5 candidates. And this past week, our team went through those 5 candidates in their first round of interviews, and so we will take the next step of now combing that down to continue to see who God will bring before us. So continue to pray with us. And I'm not going to speak to it medically, but you guys have heard something's going around called the coronavirus. Again, we have great medical professionals that I'm sure will speak to this increasingly in the days ahead, but just to speak to it briefly theologically, my prayer is, in the midst of what could be challenging us, that we are not gripped by fear, that we actually believe God's at work, the same God who the winds and the waves obey. Nothing's outside of his control. Nothing happens outside of his hand and his plan. Even the killing of his son and sending Jesus to the cross was part of his plan to redeem humanity. And so we trust and we find our security in a God who continues to hold our lives in his hand. And so part of that is this journey of maturity. Paul is continuing on in the text today, and he's going to continue to help us see what it looks like to live this life of following Jesus. And I tried to identify 3 areas that comprise the Christian life that we are growing in as his disciples. 1, that we are following Jesus, that he came to this earth and created a movement. And so we want to continue to follow him and pursue our significance and our life in him. And we primarily get to do that through his word on Sundays throughout the week. But that's not meant to be done in isolation. We actually find a great degree of value in walking with other people in this spiritual journey of life, that we are designed to be in relationship with him and to connect in relationship with others who are on this journey. We hit 4 or 5 weeks of just what it means to be the church, to be connected with other people that are following him. And then some might stop there, where they would say that's maturity, that the more I'm connected to Jesus and connected to believers, that is a wonderful thing. We actually think there's a 3rd vital part, not for like the superstar believers, but actually for the everyday saint, not the football team, but the everyday saint, to actually be pursuing those, to actually seek the transformation of the world around us, that is a vital, vital part. So let me read the text, because I think these 3 sections we've gone over, chapter 4, 1 to 16, all fit together, but we are now finishing Paul's unit of thought in verse 13 to 16. But I want to read them all together as he continues to help us see what it looks like to mature in this journey with Jesus. as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort. Ooh, man, I just noticed this. Did you guys notice we just put up some decor in the back? You guys are going to have a hard time finding that letter over there. Is that going to be all right? You'll be all right? Okay. It is if you open up the Bible, Rick. It is there too. Just... So make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through his bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us. This was last week, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he descended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to man. And saying he ascended, what does it mean? That he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, this everyday experience of living our lives to God's glory in the unique way that he's wired us for building up of the body. And here's where we're going today. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together and every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Do you ever feel like just a maturity concept could be that of juggling? I'm not actually going to talk about this juggling. I'm going to talk about, where's that other slide, Tim? This is a great segue that I was leaning towards. I was talking about this juggling. You guys ever heard of juggling? Does that sound familiar? You guys think I could do this? Is that a possibility? You think I could do three? Oh, is there anybody up here that would love to demonstrate their skills in juggling real quick? No, Morgan's... Al? You gonna come up here, Al? So here's the problem. When no one volunteers, someone gets voluntold is usually what happens. And so, Larry, do you want to come and try and demonstrate? Man, this is where illustrations go bad. I think there's like Instagrams when people video pastors trying to do illustrations. All right, so Matt, this is the joy of sitting in this spot. So come on up here. All right. So do you want to start with three or four?
I'll go three.
Or do you want two?
It's not gonna matter.
Or one. You want to? How about start one? Start with one. Let's see if you can do one. Well done. Well done. Let's see if you can mature to two. Let's see it. Oh, well done. All right, are you ready for three? All right, here's three. Are you ready?
No.
Okay, let's do it. Ready? All right. Oh, da, da, da. Oh. All right, now the real test. All right, now the real test. Let's see if All right, are you ready? All right, let's do it. Nice job. Give him a hand. Well done. Well done. So as much as maybe you saw our maturing in the juggling process, I actually wanted to invite someone that might actually be a little bit further on in the maturity process. So Tony and Laura, could you come on out? And we would love to see someone actually showcase some skills. So this is Laura and Tony Caseman. And they might show us a little bit more maturity in this juggling process. Nice job. All right, Matt, you're next. Come on up, Matt. All right. So give him a hand one more time. So obviously that didn't happen overnight. I mean, everyone really got to see me showcase my skills with a few bags here. But give us a little window of how you got into juggling. How long has this been?
Well, I learned to juggle at basketball camp when I was 14 years old. I really didn't know what else there was to do with juggling besides three balls until I saw someone about my age performing at a festival. My sister was going to go to a big juggling festival in Las Vegas and wanted me to go too. And our whole family wanted me to go so she wouldn't be alone with 500 strangers. And that was the beginning of serious juggling for me.
Pretty fun. And you've been around this community a few years, so why don't you give us a little window on how Laura Caseman and her family landed at Hillcrest?
Someone from the homeschool soccer team invited my kids to Elevate, and they went every week. And then about 2 years later, we decided to try out a Sunday morning, and we felt at home here, so we stayed.
And everyone notices you have a paper. And so why don't you encourage us?
Okay.
Encourage us maybe where God has been working in your life.
Well, I've been learning to go out of my comfort zone a lot lately. And when you asked me to juggle for a sermon illustration, I was pretty excited to do that and thought it would be fun. But I was really anxious about talking in front of people. And I thought we took care of that by putting the juggling to music. But sometimes I will take that extra step out of my comfort zone if I feel it'll help somebody else.
Thank you so much, Laura. I appreciate it. And I'll give this to you. Thank you. That we all find ourselves somewhere in this maturing process. That God is growing us and working in and through our gifts to glorify Him and to draw others to Him. And so that's where we're going this morning. That maturity is the point. That Paul's going to talk to us and tell us maturity is the point. So I'm going to read the text one more time before we jump in. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined and held together in every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work, that we are growing towards maturity. That here's where Paul's taking us this morning. That God's profound yet simple plan of displaying His glory to the world is through the maturing church. That we are becoming more of who we were created to be. That we are becoming more like Jesus. So pray with me as we jump into the text this morning. God, You are so good. Thank You for who You are and what You're doing in our lives. And wherever we find ourselves on this spiritual journey, continue to meet us there and help us take one more step in following You and becoming more like You. Be with us this morning. We always pray for Your glory and the joy in the journey. Amen. Amen. So what's a Sunday without just a small review? Does this look familiar? Why do you think I put up a review every single Sunday? Because if you're anything like me, I have a short-term memory. Like, I forget things, and it's gone. Like, I'm off, and whatever's in front of me at the moment is what I'm focused on. But the second reason, if you find yourself entering into something right in the middle, sometimes you could miss all that's gone on before. Maybe I did that last night during the movie of Emma, where I got out of my seat to go do something for a long period of time, and maybe didn't miss as much of it as what I hope you guys are missing if we don't do the review. But every single Sunday, we try and say, where is Paul taking us? So that when we jump back in to some place in the text, we have a fuller understanding of why he's telling us what he's telling us. And so as he speaks about maturity, we can't help but see three overwhelming chapters of who we are in Jesus. Of who we are as His kids, secure, chosen, redeemed, saved, and we gather together. No matter our diversity, we gather together. And so, where he begins, I think, this text, maturity. Because babies are adorable, right? They're so sweet. My sweet girls just had a birthday. This was them at 2, and they just turned 6. And so this is my sweet little girls, and I'm watching them grow up, right? Hudson, this is sweet baby boy Hudson. I remember holding him in my arms, and then he's got a birthday coming up here on March 12th, and it's just a beautiful thing, right? Everybody tells me, they say, David, just cherish these times. They're just like, cherish these times. It's because you guys don't remember what life was like with these crazy little guys. It's wild. They will run you ragged. And the hope is they continue to grow, right? They continue to grow up. We actually hope they continue to grow. Because what's the worst thing? It's when a 10-year-old is still acting like a 4-year-old, right? We love the growing up process. We don't want them to stay kids. We want them to continue to grow. We don't want to be 35 years old playing whatever video game in our parents' basement, right? We want to continue to grow. Maybe that hit a little too close to home for some of you. I don't know. But the point is, we need to grow up. That's part of the process. We continue to grow up. And so Paul's going to start here in the text. Our remaining immature is actually incredibly unhealthy. Here's where he starts in the text. Until we all attain the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Maturity is the point. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that what? Verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. And so I'm just going to throw up a few of the ideas that came to my mind this week in terms of what seems to be out there. Because Paul's saying, it's about maturity, it's about growing. Don't stay kids. And don't be deceived. It is about not being tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine. So here's just 4 ideas that came to my mind as we continue to press into maturity. You guys remember the Da Vinci Code? There was a book that came out, oh man, what is it, like 10 years ago now? Where it just pressed this idea of Gnosticism. This idea of this secret knowledge, these books that were supposedly written by the apostles, but they didn't come out till late 1st, early 2nd century. And they were claiming that they now had this new knowledge of what really was taking place, and this book was promoting this idea, and it caused quite a stir of saying, is this true? Like, what do we do with these books that seem to claim maybe Jesus had a relationship with Mary Magdalene? What do I do with this? Paul says, don't stay kids tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I think of Mormonism. I think of Mormons who use a lot of the same vocabulary we use. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they use a lot of the same vocabulary, but what they mean by that vocabulary has significantly different meaning than what we mean. When we say Jesus is the Son of God, we don't actually believe Jesus is Satan. We're originally brothers at some point. That we actually hold very clear ideas about who we believe Jesus to be, though we use very similar language. Another community that uses very similar language, JWs. If you've ever had one of these stands, I remember going to Disneyland. Every time we go to Disneyland, there was a stand that asked, what does the Bible really teach? And some of the things that our JWs will try and communicate is Jesus is not the pre-existing God, but rather He was born, right? He was the first creature that God created. There's significant differences. As we grow up towards maturity, we are trying to continue to understand what are these things we claim to believe so that we're not tossed to and fro. And it feels like, I don't know, this creeps into my mind as an American middle class, just trying to make it. It feels like sometimes this idea that, man, God wants his kids to be healthy and wealthy, right? Isn't that what God wants for you? Man, that sounds appealing. You mean Jesus is going to make me healthy and give me a lot of money? Man, I'll take Jesus. And yet it feels like the Bible consistently communicates something significantly different than the prosperity gospel. Instead, it seems to say, in this world, Jesus says, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. That we're anchoring our belief in this God who has revealed himself through this book. And some people will try and communicate, man, you just don't seem to have enough faith if you're really not getting better. I go, I want to continue to mature and grow and not be tossed to and fro by some of these doctrines that people try and communicate. Our remaining immature is unhealthy. Just like my 2-year-olds turn 6, and I'm hoping my 6-year-old will turn 7 and continue to grow, and it's someday I get to encourage them to leave the nest. Our maturing also involves truth joining in love. Here's what Paul says. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is about our maturing. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. That this concept of speaking truth in love is actually a vehicle to help us mature. And there was a video that came to mind that I think helps capture how you navigate this idea of truth in love. So Tim, could you play that video for us real quick?
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there.
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy...
There's pressure.
I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way.
That sometimes in this conversation of truth and love, you may end up on one side or the other of the spectrum. Does this ever happen to any of you? Never. Never happens to any of you, right? Our words ought to be a consistent expression of our faith in God. And in fact, they are. The language we use ought to be a consistent expression of our faith in God. And Paul says, this idea of truth in love is for the maturing as we speak truth in love to those around us. So here's three ideas for me that I think could be ways that we're not demonstrating, that we're not fulfilling this idea of speaking truth in love. And so how not to, in my mind, speak truth in love? Don't, if you don't know the truth and don't speak it in love. That if you don't know the truth and don't speak it in love, that you're communicating ideas and you're not even communicating them well. I think one idea that comes to my mind, you talk about not doing it in love. When someone is in the midst of pretty hard circumstances and the statement you say to them is, you know, you, if you just had a little more faith, you'd be better. You'd be feeling better. You'd be acting better. You know, you just don't have enough faith. One, that's not loving. Two, I don't even think that's right. If you don't know the truth and you don't actually speak it in love. I think a second way that maybe we not do this is when you swing to one side of the pendulum or the other. That you speak the truth without love. That you swing so far that now you're just seeing everything as a nail. And it just needs to get hit. And you're the hammer coming in to fix it all. Here's four ideas that came to my mind that when you think of what might it look like when you're swinging so far to the idea of truth and it's empty of love, where it feels like there's this desire to divide, there's this eagerness to criticize. You just love the argument. You care little about the solution. You just love the argument. And it comes from this condescending spirit. I remember in seminary, guys would sit around and discuss. And it would often feel void of any love, but rather one full of eagerness to criticize and a love for the argument. Void of the love component. That there's this condescending spirit that permeates when you just want to swing one side to the side of truth and we become these Bible thumpers. But then I think it's just as dangerous when we swing so far the other way where now we're speaking love without any truth attached. And what it often feels is almost this defense where it's just easier to keep my mouth shut. I'm just going to keep the peace. It's not worth losing a friendship over. And I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. It's just easier. And we acquiesce under the guise of speaking the truth in love. And we swing too far to the love side. Or we might even just avoid the conversation of doctrine at all. In the name of love, we avoid any potential doctrinal issues that could cause some controversy. In the name of love, because we swing so far and we say we're going to be known by our love, I think is missing a component of truth. Speaking the truth in love. Here's what I hope we're becoming. There's a quote by an old theologian, 17th century. He said this, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. That I hope we're becoming known by this desire that they are certain major ideas we are anchored in. And there are some non-essentials that we could get on and say, we agree to disagree, but in all things, speaking the truth in love. So here's some things I hope that we as a community are continued to be anchored in. The Trinity, the authority of Scripture, the divinity of Jesus, and faith alone, these are kind of like big deals, right? These are kind of like the essentials. We want to anchor our lives and continue to communicate with confidence and truth and love. Man, we care about this stuff. Some non-essentials, worship styles, dress. Are you suited and booted this morning, or are you in a short sleeve shirt and jeans? I hope that's a non-essential. Some decor. I like it this way. You like it that way. Are we anchored in these core convictions and in the less essentials? Form of government? Structures? What are we tied to? I hope the essentials. Paul keeps pressing us to say maturity is the point. That to stay immature is unhealthy. But there's this truth and love component that is really, really important. And that it doesn't just happen by you in and of your own strength, but it is empowered by God working through you. Here's what he says. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. You glad your kids aren't still acting like 3- and 4-year-olds? Did that land with you guys this morning? When you guys were all thinking, oh, David, the days are going to be going, and oh, you're going to, guys, these days are just slipping through your fingers. It's because you forgot a little bit about the craziness. I had three kids crawling into my bed this morning. Well, there's going to be a day when I will not miss that. And maybe you're saying, David, you will. I don't know. I was pretty comfortable before they crawled into bed. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined together. So how is this thing growing and held together? From whom? From Christ. That God is empowering this growth and maturity in our life. That God through us. And so I just want these ideas to wash over you. I'm just going to read four verses from what Paul has been sharing in the past about God's work in our life. I think Jesus is the source of growth. He gave the gifts. He gives the equippers. He is our model and our aim. And he is building his church. That it is Jesus empowering this growth in our lives. So here's four verses that Paul has already mentioned just in this text to help us see this, right? Verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Who gave the gifts? Jesus. And he gave who? Jesus. He saw the value of what it looked like to facilitate life and maturity in the body. He gave the gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. Until when? Who's our model? What's the aim? What are we becoming? Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus. That maybe I start out at one beanbag, and then it becomes two, and then all of a sudden, maybe three. I don't think it's going to be 15, 20 pins anytime soon, but there is a process we're becoming. And Jesus tells Peter, I tell you, on this rock I will build my church. Who's building it? Jesus. And we looked at that historical context, that right in the middle of brokenness of humanity, Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Our remaining in immaturity is unhealthy. Don't stay as kids. We love kids. They're so stinking cute. But don't stay kids. Grow up. Our maturing involves truth joined with love. Our maturity is ultimately empowered by God. But then he adds this component about how we're connected. Our maturing is dependent on our cooperation. Our maturity is dependent on our cooperation. Pick it up at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him. We are growing up into him who is Jesus, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. That's a hard one, Rick. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. You guys know I love C.S. Lewis, right? He has this quote that captures this idea. Because sometimes, do you ever hang out in a group of three people and you just go, man, I think it'd be better if this person was gone. I think it'd be better. I'd be better for it. They'd be better for it. We'd all be better for it. That they just do things that irk me or it's just hard. C.S. Lewis says this quote. He used to hang out with a couple other authors in England. And he has this quote that helps capture for me something that speaks to that idea of how sometimes you just feel like, well, I'm better by myself. Like, this guy's just slowing me down. He's just holding me back. C.S. Lewis speaks to this idea of what it means that the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it makes it equipped. When each part is working properly, when people are using their gifts, when people are being themselves in the way God has wired them, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. C.S. Lewis said this about a buddy who had just died. And he says this, It actually takes a community to know an individual. That there's something about when a community comes together that helps draw things out that might not otherwise come to bear if it wasn't for the sake of the community. Here's C.S. Lewis' quote in a book called Four Loves. In each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all his facets. Now that Charles is dead, one of his buddies that they would gather together, I shall never again see J.R.R. Tolkien's, I'll never see Ronald's reaction to specifically Charles' joke. Far from having more of Ronald, having him to myself, now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald. That there's actually something that God designed when the body works together and begins drawing things out, that as a community we see more of an individual. How much more do you think that applies as we pursue Jesus together? That as we gather using our different gifts and our different wirings as a community, it actually draws us closer to pursuing more of Jesus. So here's my encouragement this week. Here's some takeaways. Oh man, stinking love these kids. And I do, I miss those days. But they're growing up. And that's the point. Maturity is the point. What would it look like for us as we grow in these three areas? To keep following Jesus, to connect in relationship as a body, and to actually pursue to be sent, to be on mission to the world around us, to people who are looking for their hope in Jesus. We are growing up in those things. If I took a picture of us in our spiritual development today, what would it look like? Where do we find ourselves on this journey together? And what might it look like if I took a picture 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road? How is God continuing to grow us together? I love the value of what it means to be the church in Dane County in Oregon, where there are 10,000 people right around us that are looking for hope. There's no way. How many people? You think we could fit 10,000 people in here? Might be a little snug. But we are growing up in maturity and we're pursuing the county around us. What would it look like? So if you find yourself unaware of what your gifting is, it's kind of a big deal, right? Because we are maturing in our gifting and the way God has wired us. Here's my strong encouragement. There's a serve card in your bulletin this morning. Fill it out. We would love to have a conversation and use some tools to help you explore where God has uniquely gifted you. If you're thinking, what's my spiritual gift and how do I know? What are they? We would love to have a conversation about that. And if you are aware of your gifts, get a community. Get in the ministry team. Use these gifts. Continue to see them leveraged in the world around you. I mean, just imagine this, right? I mean, I love my kids. My son Hudson, you know, when they're hungry, what do they usually say? Feed me. I'm hungry. You know, that they're out of diapers. But what usually happened when they needed to go to the bathroom? Just kind of peed in their diaper. And then what'd they say? Change me. What would happen if I sat down to dinner tonight? Casey's in second service probably. And I'm like, Casey, feed me. Maybe it's maybe getting a little too crude. What if I just sat in my chair? Change me. What would she say? She said, go get your own food, and there's the bathroom over there, you knucklehead. It's about maturity. If you know what your gifts are, don't call me and say, David, oh, man, you know what we need, David? You know what I've been waiting for around here? David, we need to do this at the church, and we need to do this at the church, and you know what we should do in Dane County? David, we should do this in Dane County. What do you think I'll tell you? That's a great idea. My list is probably longer than yours. Go be the church. Continue in maturity and leverage the gifts that God has given you. If you're aware of your gifts, get in community where we're pursuing Jesus more together to speak truth and love to each other and to speak truth and love to the world around us. Because if you're in ministry or community, you probably saw the missing component. Pray, watch, and step as we continue to be Jesus in the world around us. Where is God leveraging your time and influence? And then last, this struck me this morning, so this was a late addition, so if there's some sentence mishaps in there, I apologize. But man, if you've yet to treasure Jesus, if you're sitting there going, man, I'm just not sure about this Jesus guy, and maybe you realize that this is what you were created for, what you've been looking for, what you've been longing for, there is a step of maturity in that direction as well. It starts... It starts with a relationship with the God of the universe. It starts with this relationship with Jesus. And we are so excited at Hillcrest to continue that ongoing spiritual transformation wherever you find yourself on this journey. So pray with me as we wrap up. God, you are so good. Thank you for who you are, what you're doing in our lives. May we continue to see you more clearly. Find our significance and satisfaction in you above anything else this life has to offer. And you've wired us, you've gifted us. May we be actively looking for ways to continue to leverage our gifting for your glory. That it's not about just staying as kids, but maturing and growing into more of your likeness, empowered by your Spirit, not in and of ourselves, but in and through your gifting. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory, we pray. Amen.